I might make room for the word of the Lord this morning.
Please pray for saints. Hope you wouldn't take exception to me getting up here again. We're leaving tomorrow, and I don't get to see y'all very often. It says in Isaiah 33, verse 15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be in the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Verse 17. We're in Isaiah 33, verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Speaking about someone that is saved, someone that is sanctified, someone that has salvation in their souls, that they shall see the beauty of the Lord. And that's, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. That's really the difficulty that the whole world has. They're blind. They don't see. They see with their eyes, but they can't see spiritually who the king is. And who's our king? Jesus Christ. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one Godhead, one beautiful king. One time I love to garden, some of you know. I purchased some bulbs, and they're called parrot tulips. And I saw the picture, and it looked beautiful, but I saw what I was buying. There's some ugly bulbs. They were peeling, flaking. You've seen them. And I really thought, come on, can I planted tulips before. I said, this probably embellished this picture a little bit. It can't look that good from this little ugly bulb. I don't know how many there were in there. So I planted them. And I forgot about them. You plant them in the fall. They come up in the springtime. And when they started coming up, of course, they were just green. Then it puts out the bud and it started opening up. And I'm not kidding you. When I saw them as they put out their beautiful, they're like parakeet wings, different colors. I was like in awe. I was taking all kinds of pictures. They tell us to take a picture from me. And all kinds of pictures. Orange, yellow, red, with stripes and little ruffles and beautiful. But if I had gone by what I see with my, if I had gone by what I saw with my eyes, I was only looking at ugly, flaky bulbs. Amen? And isn't what the world sees? I mean, y'all don't have a band. You don't have a beautiful choir with trained choruses. And I mean, we don't have that, but we have more than that. We have Holy Spirit trained people. Holy Spirit led people. But they don't see that. You don't have a kids program, this and that. And your preacher didn't go to school theology? He didn't go to the seminary? Well, how did he learn how to preach? We have the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Amen. They don't see that. But we see the beauty of our King. But what if I had not purchased the bulbs? What if I had not taken the time to dig and plant them, and I had to cultivate the land around them? That's the problem with this world. All they see is ugly, flaky bulb. But we have had the privilege of people that prayed for us. Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see the chariots of fire around them, that they may see the glory of God. Amen? Many times my wife and I are driving around, and because I love flowers or plants, I go, oh, listen, look at that those beautiful flowers. And by the time she turns around, we're driving, she doesn't see them, says, where? Oh, look at the beautiful deer. And we go by. Sometimes she does the same thing to me. because we were focused on something else. By the time we focus on what they're saying, we were distracted. Focus on something else. It isn't the way the world is. They're distracted by sin and wickedness and evil and entertainment and their own self and me and I and myself, and too busy to think about what is the will of the Lord for my life. What does the Lord want for me? How did He create me? And what was the purpose of His creating me? I'm so thankful that thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. I'm also thought about those that go deep sea diving. Some of them don't do this anymore. They cultivate them. But the oysters. How many of you know what can be inside of some oysters? Pearls. If you're a deep sea diver, you just happen to be down there, it would be kind of smart, wise, if you saw oysters, to grab a whole lot of them up and come up with them. You might just get the pearl of great price, a really costly pearl. I've seen the real pearls. They're all different colors, different sizes, different shapes. The more perfect, the more round, the more costly. But when you're deep sea diving, you're looking at the fish and the octopuses. I've been underneath snorkeling in Hawaii before. You're looking at the, oh, look, there's a sea turtle under there. And I would never, look at that beautiful oyster. You don't say that, because it's what's inside of the oyster that is valuable. Amen. I'm so thankful that I have an inside view of God's family, inside view of the Bible. You know, many people, this is like an ugly oyster to people. You give them the Bible and they put it down and go, have you read the Bible? Oh yeah, I opened it to John. I said, what did you read? Well, I just glanced at it a little bit. I liked it. That's it. They just let it collect dust. Are we letting our Bible collect dust? It's like the oyster. Open it up, saints. Not saying you're not. God is speaking to somebody here. Open it up and read it. You're going to find the beautiful pearl of great price, Jesus Christ Himself. Described, we're going to get a vision of His beauty in this, the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. Ezekiel 16:14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. Speaking of God's people, everybody knew about the beauty of Jerusalem, the Jews, how the Lord was blessing, protecting them. They were winning battles, gaining victories, blessed in so many ways. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. We just heard in prayer that if the singing and the prayers or the preaching, if it's for our glory, if it's so that we be lifted up, if all those words weren't used, but that was the idea of the prayer. And I'm so thankful that that's not the desire of God's people, but you know that can happen to us because God has put beauty upon us. God has, says, through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. They became proud. They became haughty. They began to say, I am and there is no one else. They thought they were it. And they were a treasure, a peculiar treasure, a special possession. But they forgot whose beauty they were displaying. And I love to read. I read, to give credit to the ones that wrote the story, it's from a book called More Stories for the Heart by Alice Gray, 1997. By the publishers Multnomah Incorporated in 1997, page 211. There was a story about a man that went to a garage sale. And I don't know if you know much about Harley Davidsons. I don't know a whole lot about them. But he saw Harley Davidson, and he was a kind of an auto body type man, a mechanic, and he loved to take old cars and motorcycles and restore them, the engine and the outside. And you've seen people do that. Maybe some of you do that. And he bought it, but it was... The engine would not turn. It was rusting. It was really ugly. But it was a good model. And so he bought it for $35. And so after he bought it, he didn't have time to... He got really busy and says, you know, it's just there lying around doing nothing for some years. I said, I'll call and see if I can sell it. So he called the dealers, the Harley-Davidson dealers. And he told him the model and everything. He said, give us the serial number. He gave him the serial number. He says, okay, you know what? Let me call you back. I'll call you back. I need to talk to my boss, he said. And so some days went by. He got no phone call. Sometime later, he got a phone call from one of the managers of the Harley Davidson. And he said that, my manager said that he'll offer you $300,000 for it. Oh, wait a minute. He said, I'm sorry. Maybe you misunderstood. It's the engine won't turn. It's rusted. No, he said if you bring it in, he'll pay you $3,000 for it. But he wants you to pick up the seat first, turn around the seat, and read what it says at the bottom. He said, okay. So he screwed it. He says, well, you wait. I will wait, he said. Screwed it. And it said, engraved at the bottom of the seat, the king. He said, okay, it says the king. He says, yep, that's it. We will buy it for $300,000. He says, you know what? I need to think about this. He said, hung up. And so a few days later, he gets a call from, I don't watch TV, okay? But anyway, it's a famous talk show host called Jay Leno. And Jay Leno called him. And he says, I'll give you $500,000 for it. Well, he was shocked that Jay Leno would be calling him, this famous host from TV, and that now it had been up to $500,000. He said, something's strange here. So he checked around and he found out that this had belonged to the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. And that's why they were wanting to buy it, because it was worth much more than what they were offering him. And you know what made the difference in this motorcycle? It was rusty, the engine would not turn. What made the difference is to whom it had belonged. The one that had engraved his initials upon it. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He has called us his children. He has adopted us. He's handled us. We're his special possession. And we have no value in and of ourselves. But to God, a soul is of so much great value that he was willing to do what, saints? To come, God, this was the Son, yes. Jesus, they came out of God the Father. But it tells us that this was God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness, it says. This was, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So it wasn't just that he sent his Son, the Word that was in God, that came out of God. The second person in this triune God. But it was God himself that came down. And that always amazes me, that you usually send the servant to go do something, right? But the boss, the king, came down to do the job, to purchase us, to get his hands dirty, to make us his, by giving his blood, being whipped, beaten, and bruised. And I forever will praise him for that. Amen. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee. So thankful. Let's not get haughty, saints. Do you sing beautifully? The Lord has put it on you. Give him the glory. Do you have the gift of exhorting, teaching, gardening, painting, whatever it might be? Give God the glory. Yes. Do people compliment you when you pray? Let's not get haughty. It's his beauty. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit. Without his anointing, without his help, it's just being another speech like the president gives, like the false churches give. Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, Paul the apostle said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for years I just saw it spiritually, because we do bear the marks, or identifying marks, right? When we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, goodness. But as somebody brought out once, that Paul literally had the marks of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus had been whipped and beaten physically in his body. And he was identifying himself with Christ in that he had been beaten and whipped for standing for right, for preaching the truth. Jesus was the truth and he stood for truth. Paul wasn't the truth, but he taught the truth and lived the truth, brought the truth to others. And he literally bore in his body the marks. And I'm so thankful that while I might not bear those marks in my body right now, that in my soul, in my mind, in my heart, I bear those. And I want that to be engraved more deeply. I want him to write his laws, his will. Like the song says, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. May he write on our heart every word of his will, every word of his purpose. May we have the marks, as that Harley Davidson had, of the King that made it valuable in our heart. Matthew 17. And I thought this was the time to give this because the brother mentioned this verse and then the song this morning. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. It's wonderful to come apart. It's wonderful to climb up spiritually with the Lord. Leave everything down below and go up with him. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garment was white as the light. Beautiful. He was transfigured before them. It was Peter, James, and John. Have you ever wondered why didn't the rest come up with him, all the 12? Doesn't say. Could it be that these were the only ones that could really handle seeing Jesus in all of his glory? I don't know. Well, I don't know why. Was it that we know John was leaning on Jesus' breast and he was very close to Jesus. I have a good feeling that John tagged along and wanted to go with him. What do we see, saints? Do we just see, which we are, do we just see a reformation that began in the 1800s? Or do we see something that has transposed and become something different and we're just another church among other churches? Or do we see the head of the church? And because we are attached to the head, do we see a spotless, unwrinkled, holy church? But above that, I want to be looking at the head. He's our head. He's our leader. Headquarters aren't here at Guthrie, as I read often in the faith publishing literature that we heard about the brother this morning, that he would often write, say, headquarters are not at Guthrie, at the faith publishing house. That's not headquarters. Headquarters are up there where Jesus is at. I'm so thankful that we see where our headquarters are at. We see the King. We've seen him transfigured. We've seen him changed. I spoke the other day about the caterpillar being transformed into a butterfly. That was similar to what they saw here. They saw a metamorphosis take place. It's like he took off the suit that he had on and displayed what was underneath the glory, and they were like, oh, in awe. I don't know if they actually saw the body that he took with him to heaven, or the body that they had before he came to earth, Jesus, but he was transfigured. He went through metamorphosis, and they he took off his human suit and they saw his Superman suit. The Superman that he is underneath, amen? The great one, the almighty one. And they were in awe. He was transfigured before them. Did shine as the sun. Have you ever tried looking at the sun? You really can't. You have to turn around. You can even go blind looking at the sun too much. He was transfigured. That was how bright and glorious his beauty was. And don't you think that the disciples never forgot that? John wrote about it in the Epistle of John. I don't recall exact words, but it says we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, something along those lines. And then this song was sung this morning. Let's see if this is the verse. Yes, this is the verse. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Who was that, saints? Moses. Have you asked the Lord, show me thy glory? Or are you just wanting to learn a bunch of rules and regulations, which I think that's not, I don't hear any preachers preaching that. But you might be thinking that's the way it is. My mom says I shouldn't do this. My dad says I can't go there. Or that I need to do this. And are you too focused on that? And are you missing the whole point behind it? It says, show me thy glory. Do you see the glory of an intimate relationship with the Lord? Do you see the glory of giving yourself to the Lord, of dying to yourself? Do you see that glory of rising up a new creature in Christ? Or do you just see a bunch like a form to follow? And I'll be this way in the service, but outside of service, I can do my own thing. You don't see the glory then. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What do you think Moses was thinking? Who am I that you would cause all of your goodness to pass before him? But he asked for it. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. 21. We're in Exodus 33:21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place in by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand. Sister Rosie spoke about that too. While I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt not be seen. We've all seen the back parts of some people. They can be beautiful. What are the back parts of God like? What glory did he see? Was he in awe? Was that what helped him to continue on in the journey? Was that what helped him to endure the murmuring of the people? Amen? Do we see his? Have we asked him, show me that glory? I do often say, I want to see your beauty. And I pray for people this way, Lord, cause them to see you, Jesus. And may they fall in love with you. May they be enthralled by you. May they be won by you. May they not be able to take off their eyes of you. May they be so beautiful that all other things will pale in comparison. Because if that's the case, they'll be willing to submit and do the will of the Lord. So will we. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Show me thy glory. Show me thy beauty. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Exodus 24, verse 17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. This is when Moses went up on the mountain and was getting the Ten Commandments and the Lord speaking to him. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gathered him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. When they looked up on top of the mountain, they saw a devouring fire on top of the mountain. It was unusual. It was bright. It was burning. That was the glory of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. I'm so thankful that we see that devouring fire. It's not a literal fire, but we see it. We hear it in the singing. We hear it in the prayers when it's anointed. We hear it in testimonies. We see it in the life of people that are having difficult marriages or trouble at work, but they're remaining faithful. They're going on in spite of the mate that is dragging them down, that is speaking evil of them, that is making life hard for them. They're going on. They see the devouring fire. They see the glory of the Lord, and they're willing to go all the way because the fire of the Lord burns within their heart. Like those who walk into maize and say, did not our heart burn within us? Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. Revelation 1, 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. How many of you have read that and looked at it? We have a vision of Jesus one way as a human being, but here he is in his glorified state. Maybe it's symbolical too, a lot, but yet there's a part that is revealing his glory right there. I like the way that he was dressed. He was dressed with a garment down his foot. He was covered up. His hairs were gray. They weren't dyed. People are dying their hair today, and as they get quieter, they go, "Oh, I don't want to look old. I want to dye it so I look younger." I don't dye my hair because I want to look more like Jesus. I like that natural beauty that he gave me. Amen. There's a beauty in Jesus. There's another side to Jesus that we will not see if we are not looking for it. If we don't say, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Help me to see just beyond the surface and not just look at that ugly oyster. Help me to look inside and to see the beautiful pearl, the pearl of great price that is Jesus Christ." Amen. Psalm 27 verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold a boring service, to behold a people that are dressed fuddy-duddy. No. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." One thing have I desired. Is that what you desire? To see the beauty of the Lord? What happens to a young man? I'll use the young man as an example. When he falls in love with a young girl. When she calls him back. Or text back to him. They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know what? I don't have time to talk to you right now." If he's doing his homework, "Oh, I got to do my homework. Oh, you know what? I've got to visit my friend Jake over there. I can't talk right now." Is that what he does? That young boy will shut up, put to quiet, set aside, leave behind, go where he has to go to be and to see what? That young girl. Just to hear hello, he starts shaking. He forgets his name. Hi, he forgets how to talk. Why? Because he's enthralled by her, the beauty of her voice. I remember when I first met my wife. Should be ashamed of myself, but I prayed that for years. I prayed, "Lord, I'll marry her. You want me to marry, even if I want her to be beautiful on the inside for you. But if I don't like the way she looks on the outside, Lord, I don't know if I can handle it. Wake up in the morning and be scared." So I said, "Lord, be merciful. I know I'm not that good looking, but I love beautiful things. So I know I want her to be beautiful on the inside, to be committed and yield to you 100%, but I want her to be beautiful too." And I said, "Well, I don't know what the Lord thinks of that, but that's what I feel." And He sent me that. My wife is beautiful now. You should see her when she was even younger. We've been married 18 years. But you know, when I first saw her, I only shook her hand and something happened. We only saw a few seconds. I have a bad memory about things. I knew she was beautiful, but I forgot how beautiful she was. So when I started calling her and talking to her over the phone, and we compared notes and talked about the Bible, prayed together, and I got to know her, and I just saw her for a little short while like that, and then something happened and she disappeared. Just a few seconds. So I know she's beautiful, but I forget. I need to see a picture of her. So as we started communicating, I dared to ask her, "Could you send me a picture of yourself?" I was already 32. She was 30, I think. We were older. We knew what we were doing by that time. We were mature, established Christians in Christ. So I said, "Can you send me a picture of yourself?" And she did. And I forget what I was doing. And when I ripped it open, I looked at it and I was like, "Oh, she's more beautiful than I thought she was." I got a picture that I could look at every day now. And I was like, "Wow, beautiful eyebrows and her beautiful hair and her." And then when I heard her voice on the phone, I was going, "What a beautiful accent." And I was just get a hold of yourself, Tony. But anyway, that's not what it's all about. It's what's in the inside, right? It's what's in the inside. To behold the beauty of the Lord. What do you see? What do we see? Do we just see a routine? We get up, we sing songs, the old same songs. We get prayer requests, boring prayer requests. Same old Aunt Shasha is sick and Brother Tim is dying, and let's pray that, you know, Do you just feel bored by that? And then the singing, and then the more singing, and more prayers, and then afterwards altar, and then prayer, and singing, it never ends. I don't see it that way. I'm always happy when one person comes to the altar. I'm always happy when one person dares to come up here and sing. It's not that easy. It takes courage to sing. It takes courage to pray. It takes courage because you're thinking, are they going to think I'm vain by praying? Are they going to think I'm so hot because I'm going to sing or whatever? It's the word. The devil works with you on both ways. They're going to think you're too proud, or they're going to, or you lousy person because you're so chicken. You don't want to go up there, whatever. Amen. He'll attack us either way, but we need to throw that aside. Sing for him. You know, in Mexico, they have the custom when they fall in love with a young woman. You know what they do? They get a band together in the middle of the night, and they take that band and they start singing at the window of the young woman. Something beautiful, and she opens the shutters in the window and starts singing to her. That's the way they make her. That's part of making her fall in love with them. Amen. That's what they feel, and that's what they do. I want to sing to my Lord. I sing to him in the shower. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And I start singing to him. I don't care who's listening, who's not. Amen? To behold the beauty of the Lord. We pray to behold the beauty of the Lord. We read the Bible to behold the beauty of the Lord. We go out to tell others about the beauty of the Lord because we've seen the beauty of the Lord, and we can tell them because we've seen him. Not physically, no. One day we'll see him physically, or not physically, but we'll see something. I shouldn't say physically because we might not have physical eyes and he might not have physical. Well, he's taken something physical with him to heaven, a resurrected body. God the Father may just be a spirit that's unclothed, maybe not a physical person. I don't know what it'll be like. Maybe you can tell me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love some verses in Psalm. Praise the Lord. Psalm 44. Psalm 45. Verses 2, 3, and 4. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of the truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. If you read this, it's talking about Jesus. If you read further down, thou art fairer than the children of men. Is he fairer than my Aunt Nelda that came visit me at the time of the meeting, and she's not saved and I can't come to service because she came to visit me? Is there going to be an excuse? We're going to say, you know what, Aunt Nelda? There's the refrigerator, there's the key, I'm going to service. Is Aunt Nelda more fairer than the exhortations and the prayers and the testimonies that I'm going to hear in the service? Or is my friend Jim Bob that came, asked me to go with him to a certain place, and it's the time of the service, is he more fairer than Jesus? Is he? At Christmas time, who's more fair? The service or my family? Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful. Thou art fairer than the children of men. I hope you don't think I'm worldly because I'm bringing up some worldly names. There's a young man called Justin Bieber. Never seen him sing. Seen his pictures. Never heard him sing. I don't even know what he sings like, but he comes across sometimes on Time magazine, newspapers, and one time it was advertising in a free newspaper that's thrown in front of our home that Justin Bieber, if you don't know who he is, he's a young singer that started singing on YouTube, from what I understand. He got a great audience, and then he came out public, and he became a hot sensation to the whole young teenage world. Anyway, Justin Bieber, this good-looking, hot, as they say, young man, showed up in Juarez, Mexico. And who do you think was there? All the girls. Thousands. They couldn't even let him in. They're all around. And Justin Bieber got... I wasn't there. I didn't go. But this is what the newspaper said. Anyway, they said, Justin Bieber, hot sensation in Juarez, Mexico, I don't know what else. And they show a young girl in front that he called out. He said, I'm going to call one young girl. And he was going to give her roses and sing to her right there face to face. And they were all fainting. Oh, pick me up. Oh, they fainted, falling down because they wanted to be the one to sit in front of him as he serenaded them. That's just a man, right? That's a human thing. But do you know there's somebody that's more glorious, more beautiful than any star, idol, pop idol, sports icon, or whatever it might be? There's someone that's more beautiful. Have you seen him? Have you said, Lord, show me thy glory? Can we say, thou art fairer than the TV? Thou art fairer than my time that I spent on Facebook? That's why I have no time to read the Bible, no time to pray. Because the extra time I have after I take care of the kids, iron, wash, then do Facebook and Twitter. And I mean, those are good tools that can be used. Don't get me wrong. Don't misquote me. But is that more fair to you than your time, your personal time of candlelight between you and the Lord? Candlelight dinner, reading the Bible, praying, service. Amen? Thou art fairer than the children of men. If that young girl wanted to faint in front of Justin Bieber, I think he even kissed her in the cheek, and that she probably never washed that cheek ever again. Amen? Praise the Lord that we have someone that touches us. And when he touches us, it affects us so much that we are enthralled by him. Amen? Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 14. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. And behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Etc., etc. Then it says in verse chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He says to her, she says things to him, and he says things to her, the bride of Solomon and Solomon to her. But this is all typifying the bride, the church of God, us, and the king, Solomon, typified Jesus. When I read this, there's even songs about the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Who is it talking about? Jesus Christ. You know what? I love flowers. If anything comes near being an idol to me are the flowers. Remember when I was little? There was I had a backyard and there were wildflowers growing. There were something similar to buttercups, but they're white. They're wild. And we had a neighbor come visit us, and she was leaving, and she was walking through those buttercups and stepping in them. I was only 8 years old, and I started to cry. She was stepping in them, and I was like, my mom says, why are you crying? And she's stepping on the flowers. Since a child, I've loved any kind of living thing, animals and plants. And Jesus is my rose of Sharon. Jesus is my lily of the valley. Have you looked at lilies, smelled them, seen them? They're delicate and beautiful. Our Jesus, there's a beauty to him, and he causes my head to turn away from the world and its attractions. Has he caused your head to turn to him? Or do you kind of turn between him and the world? If that's the case, saints, our flesh wants to turn. Yes, we have the flesh. Our flesh will be tempted. Let's not take that away. But there's something more beautiful than the carnival, than the movies, than that discotheque, or that dance, or that party. And it's my Jesus Christ. I hope that is the way it is with you. Amen? There's something more beautiful than those little gold earrings. Psalm 149, verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them shout aloud upon their beds. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify them with salvation. The meek. Meekness. You know, I've not been from the beginning to the end, but I've seen some men trying to tame wild horses. Maybe you've seen it. maybe been around it from start to finish. I've heard when they start, those horses just are broncos, and they kick and they can't even get near them. But they know what to do. They first start building a relationship with that animal, talking to it, and maybe throwing some cubes of sugar or celery, I don't know what, and they win its heart. Then finally they get close enough to it and goes back in. And he starts winning it over. Pretty soon the relationship's so close that now he can dare. Sometimes they fling something over them. Sometimes they just dare to jump on and hold on to the mane and start riding. It starts kicking and bumping. Through a span of time, he breaks the will of that horse. He can pull the bridle and he'll stop. He'll hit it so far and he'll jump, and he gets it trained to do what it wants it to do. And the Lord beautifies those that are meek with salvation. For too proud, haughty, stubborn, rebellious, and kicking bronco. I don't like that they're telling me that. I don't like the minister preaching that. In our heart, we might not say it with our lips. I mean, we might tell somebody else, you know, that preacher's getting out of hand, and he's getting out of it, and he preaches too long, and he preaches too long. May the Lord help us. The Lord takes pleasure in His people, and He will beautify the meek with salvation. Someone that's been tamed, brought down, humbled. 1 Chronicles 16, 25. 1 Chronicles 16, 25. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. 29. We're in 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. And holiness, people in the world tend to just focus on the outward. But holiness goes beyond just the outward. If I am holy, my outward words will be right. That's important because my heart has been made holy. The words that I speak are not going to be corrupt. If my heart is right, where I go and don't go will change too. If my heart is right, what I wear and don't wear will change too. But that's not the most important. The most important is my heart. Has my heart been saved? Have I been born again? Have I been regenerated? Do I have the Holy Spirit in my heart? Has the Lord taken out the stony heart and given me a heart of flesh? Is my heart uncircumcised? Or has it been circumcised? Has the Lord cut off carnality, depravity? Amen? Circumcision of the heart. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I knew all of that when I came to the saints and we left the church that we did. And you know, we were looking for outward marks because we can't see the heart. We're looking for the right words, the right actions in the service, and the way you were dressed. I mean, I'm legalistic? No. I was looking for women with long, uncut hair. I was looking for women that wear their hair up in modesty. I was looking for young girls that had long dresses and that were covered up modesty, that were not jeweled and decked. And do you understand what I'm saying? We knew that if the true church existed, that would be there. Because the church would already be mature. Should have been around for a while. We left the church that we were part of, and we found out it was not the true church. So for a year and a half, we prayed. It's a long story at home. And researched more than 55 churches. Took pastors out to eat. Questioned them. And et cetera, et cetera. And we were disappointed every time. Until we met the saints. Visited with Brother Stanley for 7 months on the phone. Finally came here. Got literature from Faith Publishing. Read them and was enthralled. Encouraged by the doctrine that it was showing me more light. And then when I came here, I saw the proof. I saw people that had been what? Just like it says here. They had the beauty of holiness. They were giving glory to God. They knew that He was greatly to be praised. Amen? Yes. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you consider the feet of your pastor, whether it be a man or a woman, to be beautiful feet? I don't believe he's talking about these feet, because they might be callous and ugly. But the way they walk, the way they live, the message they're bringing, their manner of being is beautiful. It is to me. Brother Marty's feet are beautiful to me. Brother Philip's feet are beautiful to me. Amen? My brother over here that teaches, the good teacher, we'll name his name because I know he doesn't like that. He has beautiful feet. Amen? Teaches Revelation, teaches here. We're so thankful for this teacher. Amen? He has beautiful feet. Are you full of criticism? You know, it takes a lot to die to yourself and to deny yourself things that you could be doing to get ready, to preach, to lead the service, to deny yourself doing what you wanted to do the Lord's will. Do you value your pastor? Do you value those that have tutored you, your Sunday school teacher, the brother and sister in Christ that's bringing good news to you? How beautiful. How beautiful are the feet? Are they beautiful to you? Is their walk beautiful? It is to me. We're almost finishing, saints. Matthew 23, verse 27. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but ye are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You know, there have been times when there have been people that have murdered people and they've left them in a trunk in a car, abandoned car, or locked in a house. And the house looks okay, the car looks okay, but after a while, what happens? An odor starts to come out. And they're, what's that odor? What's that smell? That happened across from the chapel. A man had died and he had been in bed for months maybe. He hadn't shown up to work and he had not too many acquaintances. And finally, someone called the police and authorities that there's a horrible smell coming from that room. They knocked on the door and the man had died and was decomposing. Do we have horrible decomposing things in us? Things that are decomposing, things that are rotten. A rotten spirit of unforgiveness. Jealousy, envy, strife. I'm going to get even. I'm going to show him. I'm going to put her in her place. Attitude. May the Lord help us. May we not just appear okay on the outside. Beautiful on the outside. May the Lord, may we allow him, Lord. And I know you have. I'm not condemning anybody. You might all be 100% right. That's wonderful. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me. May I not just appear to be okay on the outside. May the Lord truly beautify my spirit, my mind. May I have the mind of Christ. May you have the mind of Christ. May the Lord beautify us inwardly. Amen. And to finish, getting nearer. Isaiah 53 verse 13, 52 verse 13. We all love these verses. I do at least. Isaiah 52 verse 13. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." That's Jesus. As many were astonished at his visage, his countenance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Sprinkle them with blood. Wash them. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been seen, not been told them, shall they see, and that which they had not heard, they shall consider. They were astonished at his visage. And I believe it's talking about when he was nailed to the cross and whipped and beaten. He was beaten so much, they say, they stripped off the skin off of his back, and wherever they were whipped, the whip would have nails and claws and rocks, and when they'd hit him, it bruised the skin and sometimes rip it off. And they whipped him and whipped him, and Jesus was left flayed. His visages were so marred that there was no beauty in him. Amen. But you know, when I look at the cross, what do we sing? Oh, the wondrous cross. The beautiful cross. We're not talking about that wood thing, but who was on the cross. Why is it beautiful to us? Because He did for us what no man could ever do for us. He paid the price for our redemption, our salvation, for our sins. He took the blame. He was punished. He tasted hell. There's a story, I've told this before, maybe some of you have heard it, about a woman that had a daughter, and she was disfigured in her face. She raised her daughter, she grew up, and she would take her daughter to school, and the daughter, the mother didn't know this, but the daughter was ashamed of her mother because her face was disfigured by the fire. And the daughter never had asked her what had happened. And she'd say, oh, leave me over here, a block before, or leave me over here. And she didn't want her mother to meet her friends. And anyway, one day, I don't know what came up, but the conversation came around, and the mother said, are you ashamed of me? Oh, Mom, it's just that, it's your face. Do you know how I burnt my face? No, I don't, Mom. What happened? Just when you were a little baby, she was busy doing house cleaning or something, and she heard something in the top room, maybe there was a short circuit. She ran up there, and the room was on fire where the baby was, where she was. And so she ran in there, got the baby, covered her up, and had to run through the doorway. And if her curtain or something fell on top of her and burned her face, and she just kept on running with her baby. But she burned her face. And when the mother told the daughter how she had burned her face, you know, that changed the whole attitude of the daughter. She says, Mom, she touched her scars. She says, Mom, those are beautiful scars. It's a beautiful scar because you did what I wouldn't be here, Mom, if you hadn't done that. I didn't know, Mom. Why hadn't you told me? Because I didn't want you to feel bad. Why hadn't you told me, Mom? Oh, I feel so bad. I'm sorry. I'll never be ashamed of you, Mom. She was never. Are we ashamed of Christ? Are we ashamed of what we believe? Are we ashamed of the cross? Are we ashamed of the suffering? Are we ashamed to be different? I'm not. I was at one time. The Lord help me. The Lord help us all. Then it says there in Isaiah 53, verses 1 and 2, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected, etc. Now think of the, just to finish with the, about the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know what the tabernacle was? Some of you have studied it. It was like a moving tent that the Israelites took with them, like the place of worship. And anyway, inside was the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box. It would be opened. On top were two objects made out of gold. That was the mercy seat. But on the outside of the tabernacle, it had badger skins. It was just skins. It was ugly. But it was when you started going in, the beautiful blue curtains, and you went in to the holy place and the holiest of all, and where the Ark of the Covenant was, and you looked at the Ark of the Covenant, solid gold. I believe it might have been gopher wood overlaid with gold. I don't recall the type of wood. But the beauty was looking inside of the Ark of the Covenant, being in the holiest of all. You know what? It'll be in that entering into the holiest of all, being the closest we can to the Lord, that place of holiness, of sanctification, where we will see His beautiness. And I pray that if there's anybody here that has not said, Lord, show me Thy beauty. You're only looking at the outside. It's ugly. But have you gone inside? Have you taken a closer look at the beauty of the Lord? May the Lord help us. May we say, Lord, show me Thy glory. Amen.